On the night that he is to be arrested, Jesus shares final words with his disciples as the one through whom God is known. He promises to go before them and act on their behalf. The Holy Gospel for today comes from John, the 14th chapter, starting with first verse. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of our Lord. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So our gospel lesson today from John 14 is one that I have preached on many times, but it's not always been on a Sunday morning. You see, this passage that we heard this morning is a popular one that many families choose for funerals. The image of God's house having many dwelling places and this idea that Jesus goes before us to prepare a place for us and for our loved ones, those are comforting images in the midst of grief. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Comforting words to hear at the time of death. Now, when I'm faced with a passage that I've preached on quite often, I challenge myself to maybe dig a little deeper and see if I can find something new. Because you see, we have this amazing living Word of God. And no matter how many times we go back to it, how many times we study it, there's always something new that we can learn. So as I was searching this week, I came across an interesting article about this passage in John. The author took that first line, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," and dissected it. She went back to the original Greek and made an interesting discovery. You see, there are times when we read in Scripture, when we read it in English, that we miss some of those nuances that the author might be trying to convey. What the author of the article found was this, and this might seem, just hang in there with me, because initially it might seem a little weird, that the word "your" in the passage is plural, and that the word "hearts" is singular. So the "your" is the disciples, these men, a group who had faithfully been following him for 3 years. A group that Jesus knows will be facing incredible fear and grief in the days ahead. This is who he's referring to when he says "you're," this group of men. But then, as the author of the article suggests, Jesus is speaking to one heart, one singular heart. He is suggesting that this group of disciples that have followed him collectively have one heart. That they as a group will journey together through these next days, months, and years. They will face Jesus' crucifixion together. They will face the resurrection together. And they will work together to begin to build the church. They will follow the way, the truth, and the life together, supporting one another, celebrating with one another, grieving with one another, and more. I really liked this author's assessment of that because I think it speaks to how we, as a church community, can and do journey through this life and follow the way, the truth, and the life together. During my internship in seminary, I served a very small rural church. My internship supervisor was at a neighboring church, so I was essentially on my own. Well, I don't always think that that was the best decision, but I was on my own. But anyway, one morning, the reason I didn't always think it was a good idea because there were things that scared me. I'd worked in the church, but I hadn't been in this pastoral role. And I was always wondering if I was going to be good enough. Not really in worship or other things, but good enough when tragedy hit or when people needed, something of me when they were really struggling. I didn't know if I would have the right words or would say the right thing or would do the right thing. But one day, I received a call from our council president that said, "I don't know if you heard, but our member died last night in a farming accident." And my heart sank. It was a tragedy that I knew that would rock this church community. And my heart sank because I didn't know what I was going to say, how I would be able to bring any comfort to this family. What would I do? Would I say the right things? Would I do the right things? But in spite of that, I packed up and went to the farm to be with the family. I was worried and stressed that I wouldn't be enough, but what I witnessed that day, and many of you have probably witnessed this in the face of tragedy as well, is that I sat in that kitchen with that family, and I watched as a church community whose heart was broken, a church community who was grieving, but also a church community who came together in incredible ways to love and support this family. They did the normal Lutheran thing. They brought food for an army. They sat with his wife and held her hand. They helped with their special needs daughter. They made plans for the planting and harvest of his crop. They shared the love of Christ with those who were going through a very dark time in their life. I didn't need to be enough. I didn't need to do the perfect thing because I was a part of a church community that came together and was more than enough. You see, we are called as Christians to follow Jesus, to follow the way, the truth, and the life. Yet we don't need to do that alone. We don't walk our journey of faith alone. As a community of faith, we can walk together. We can be a group with a singular heart, a heart that strives to love God and to support and love one another. And this isn't just something we do when people are grieving. But we can celebrate together, we can work together, we can support one another and more. Yes, it's such good news that in God's house there are many dwelling places. And yes, it is such good news that Jesus goes before us to prepare a place. But in the meantime, we are left to journey through this life. And sometimes, outside of these walls, we're told that we need to journey it alone. We need to face tough times alone, power through it, don't bother people, don't make people uncomfortable, and make sure you get over it quickly. Even though in our best times, we don't always want to share because we don't want to feel like we're bragging, or we might make someone feel bad because our life is going better than someone else's. Or maybe we just don't believe that anyone would care what's going on in our life. But here's the thing. This is the kind of stuff that we hear from the world that keeps us from loving one another. It keeps us from making connections in our lives. It makes us build walls, and it keeps us from making connections. It's the kind of thing that empowers us or gives us the freedom to isolate ourselves. But we, as children of God, have been created to live in community with Christ as our heart. We have been called to walk the way together, loving and supporting one another, following the truth of Jesus, and living in the abundant life that he intends for us, a life full of love and mercy and forgiveness. All of our life matters. Our struggles matter, our celebrations matter, our questions matter, and even our boring everyday life matters. We need each other. We, as a body of Christ, as this one group with one heart, can accomplish so much more together than separately. I don't know if you heard, but on Friday evening, we had a mock-in here, and from 6 to 10. And what a mock-in is a lock-in that's much more friendly for adults, because it's not overnight, you know, all that fun stuff. So from 6 to 10, we were here. There were about 30 to 40 fifth through ninth graders from a handful of ELCA churches here in Bismarck. We gathered for food and fun and devotions and more. At the end of the night, we gathered in the community center and lowered the lights. Pastor Bob from Good Shepherd gathered everyone around one candle, all these fifth through ninth graders. This one candle that in the darkness shone brightly. And this candle represented Christ. And Pastor Bob invited everyone to light a smaller candle, say a prayer, and place it as in the sand around the bigger candle. You've probably seen that kind of exercise before. But it hit me differently that night. Because as each kid lit a candle and placed it in the sand, the room became progressively brighter. And as Pastor Bob ended, he reminded the kids that not only do we need the light of Christ in our lives, that light that darkness cannot overcome, but we need each other's light. That when we combine all of our lights together, we are much brighter and can accomplish so much more. We are one body of Christ here at Trinity. We are one body of Christ in Bismarck, in North Dakota, and across the world. A body whose heart, one singular heart, is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. A body that is called together to work together using our various gifts and talents to love one another, to spread the light of Christ throughout the whole world. And to walk together on this journey of life in all times and in all places. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Amen.